Before JFK became the man who led America through the days of Camelot, there was John F. Kennedy, junior senator for Massachusetts. The Senate is, after all, where JFK's leadership and presidential ambitions truly began. JFK in the Senate: Pathway to the Presidency is a new book that deals exclusively with JFK's years in the Senate and how they helped catapult him toward the presidency. It's by John Shaw, senior correspondent and vice president for Market News International and a contributing writer for The Washington Diplomat. He was a media fellow at Hoover Institution at Stanford University for 6 years, and we welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe.
What led you to look at the JFK years through his time in the U.S. Senate?
Well, it was a very kind of accidental project. I was actually finishing up a book on a very different senator, Richard Lugar from Indiana. This was like a 4 or 5 year project, and as I was getting near the end of that project, I needed to kind of put Lugar's career into a historical context. So I had some meetings with the Senate Historical Office, who gave me some kind of big picture things to talk about, and then they referred me to a report that Senator John F. Kennedy wrote in the mid-1950s. This is this report he wrote as chairman of a special committee that was charged to determine the five best senators in American history. That's an interesting project in itself, but so I looked at the Kennedy report. It was very, very interesting, helped me kind of finish the Lugar book. And as I was putting it away, I was thinking, you know, that might be just the whole Kennedy committee, this committee to determine the five best senators, might be an interesting project in itself. And as I started looking into it more deeply, I thought, and as I looked at just sort of the mass of Kennedy literature, I was really struck by the fact that there really is no other book on Kennedy's Senate career. I mean, so much else has been written about him, but this is one aspect of his life that really hasn't been written about in kind of a focused way.
What brought him to the Senate? Where did that interest lie?
Well, you know, I think psychologists have sort of looked at the complex family he grew up in. The death of his brother during World War II seemed to pass a lot of the family ambitions on to JFK. And so in 1946, he ran for the House. It's interesting because Kennedy was not, despite some of the legend that now surrounds him, a particularly good natural politician. He was a quiet, reserved, somewhat distant person. He once said that, you know, if he's sitting in an airplane and the choice is read a book or talk to the person next to him, he'd prefer to read the book. I mean, he was not one of these people who just, you know, was an extrovert. But once he decided to enter politics and run, he turned himself into a very, very formidable candidate. So he ran in 46 in a very crowded Democratic primary. He had very ample family resources, which was an important fact, but also the fact Kennedy really outworked everyone else. He was just relentless. So Kennedy entered the House in 1947. And quickly decided that, you know, being one of 435 was really not what he wanted to be. And so really early in his career, but certainly no later than 1948, he began to just travel throughout Massachusetts, well beyond his district, to build a political base so he could run for a Senate seat. And then in 1952, he decided to swing for the fences and go after Henry Cabot Lodge, who was an incumbent senator, a war hero in his own right, and someone who was considered a very formidable political opponent. And Kennedy decided to make a run against Lodge.
He served for 8 years in the Senate, but as you mentioned, there was a House term. For the voters of Massachusetts, were there accomplishments in that time that led to his election?
Well, I think he was, you know, during his House tenure, I think he was a solid lawmaker. You know, he was a pretty traditional Democrat on domestic issues, housing, labor, minimum wage, that sort of thing. He was somewhat hawkish on foreign policy. In fact, he was oftentimes quite critical of President Truman's foreign policy. and a couple points went to the floor of the House and was very, very critical, particularly of the administration's policy towards China. Kennedy effectively accused the Truman administration of losing China and allowing the communists to take power there. But in terms of Kennedy's, it was not a time of great accomplishment, I would say, on the House side. The one thing he did, I think he assessed pretty clearly as he was gearing up to run against Lodge in '52, is that Lodge was a senator with a lot of international ambitions in terms of travel. He was very, very interested in foreign policy. So Kennedy's whole campaign theme in 1952 was that he would do more for the state of Massachusetts, and said Lodge was this, you know, globe-trotting senator whose, you know, his gaze was always beyond Massachusetts. And this is somewhat ironic because I think, you know, Lodge was exactly the sort of senator that Kennedy really wanted to be. He was not someone who was particularly interested in domestic issues. He was very interested in foreign policy. So Kennedy, I think, he won his seat pledging to do all that he can to help revive the Massachusetts and the New England economy. That was sort of the main focus of his campaign, rather than citing any specific achievements during his House time.
You write early in the book that he learned how to project himself as a future-oriented politician who was keenly focused on the challenges of the coming decade, the 1960s, while also steeped in America's past. Obviously, he had the World War II history and grew up in that time, but did have that eye forward.
Right, and the thing that was what is so interesting about Kennedy is I think he really did, and I think this happened particularly during his Senate years, he was able to assemble a political identity that became an extraordinarily powerful political weapon, which is, you know, someone who was very young, obviously, who was in his early 40s when he ran in 1960. So young, but also had the experience of World War II. He was a hero, I think, certainly you could say that. But also he was, so he had this sort of young, forward-looking dimension. But also he was a historian. He loved history. That was probably one of his real passions in life. In college, he wrote a pretty good book on England's foreign policy in the 1930s. In the early 1950s, mid-1950s, he wrote, or was at least senior editor, shall we say, of a book called Profiles in Courage, which became a national bestseller. And so Kennedy, he was very interested in history, knew a lot about American history. And so as he went on the campaign trail for the 1960 campaign, it was a very interesting kind of dual identity of about being both young and progressive and energetic, but also someone who knew a lot about American history. And on the campaign's trail, I mean, he would regale audiences with references and analogies that extended back into the country's past.
You realize how much he learned in reading this book. I realized how much he learned about campaigning during that, especially that first Senate campaign.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Kennedy template was developed in some ways even in his first House race, but certainly by the 52 campaign, just the sort of kind of saturation coverage of the state, building a real formidable political operation. In fact, you know, the Kennedy campaign of 52 was considered the gold standard of the time in terms of how a relatively unknown candidate, you know, he's well known in his district, of course, but not so much really across the state, but how a relatively unknown candidate could just slowly, methodically build the political support, create a political machine, and use that to run for office. So I think the 52 model became something that Kennedy took national when he ran in 1960.
One of the chapters in the book is The High Realm of Foreign Affairs. He is an interesting character study when it comes to that issue of foreign affairs.
He is. I mean, this was his passion. In fact, one of the really great interviews I had was with former Senator Harris Wofford, senator from Pennsylvania, who is now almost 90 and was also on Kennedy's his Senate staff in the early 1950s. And Wofford told me, he said, foreign policy was the one issue that completely excited Jack Kennedy. And it was something that he paid a lot of attention to. He when he entered the Senate, he pressed Lyndon Johnson, then the Senate Democratic leader, to get an assignment on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. That assignment, by the way, didn't come until 1957, And so Kennedy continued to pursue his foreign policy interests really without a committee assignment that was directly relevant. He was on the Labor Committee and the Government Operations Committee, but used personal resources to travel extensively, gave really some remarkable speeches on foreign policy in the early and mid-1950s, speeches on topics like the French struggles in Indochina, Vietnam, the French struggles in Algeria. He was, I think, way ahead of his time in terms of seeing that Poland was a weak link in the Soviet Empire, and was outlining specific programs to induce Poland to maybe ease its way out of the Soviet orbit if it could. So this was an area that Kennedy loved. And the thing, I guess, that really, as I was researching this book, the thing that surprised me the most is reading his speeches, his foreign policy speeches in particular, just sort of the enormous skill by which he would focus in on a problem, put it in its historical context, survey possible solutions, identify a path or a course, and then kind of flesh it out with 8 or 10 specific action items. His foreign policy speeches, I think, stand up really quite well. And as someone who covers Congress and has for 20 years, I can say there are not a lot of folk who give the kind of speeches that on foreign policy that Kennedy gave regularly throughout the 1950s.
You say in the book, Kennedy's transformation from a shrewd critic of France's missteps in Indochina to a full supporter of American involvement in Vietnam continues to fascinate and perplex historians. And it's much, as you're going back to an earlier point of yours, is that that's often the only real information that is brought up about Kennedy's Senate career.
Well, you know, and the Vietnam experience is so fascinating because, as you suggest, in Kennedy's speeches, beginning in 1953 when he entered the Senate, he went to the Senate floor and said, in a series of really powerful speeches, said that France was involved in a losing effort in Indochina, that there was no way a Western imperial power would be able to win the day in Vietnam, and the best thing would be to grant Vietnam independence. So he saw very clearly in 53, 54, 55, how weak France's position was. But when the U.S. effectively took France's role starting in 1955, it's intriguing that Kennedy's skepticism about how the West might prevail in Indochina seemed to dissipate, and he became a full-throated supporter of Diem, became a very strong supporter of the Eisenhower administration's support of Diem in Vietnam. So it's a real puzzle. And, you know, historians say, did Kennedy just sort of lose? And Kennedy was not an intense nationalist. He was not someone who, you know, sort of believed America never makes a mistake or this country always does the right thing. So, I mean, he had the sort of analytical tools to realize that the U.S. could blunder as much as anyone else. And yet it seems like his skepticism dissipated when the U.S. Took a larger role. And a lot of people, frankly, just think it was political, that he thought, as they anticipated a 1960 run, that he felt like he had to be on the hawkish side of this issue. The Democrats were still reeling from the so-called loss of China in the 1940s, where it was perceived that the Democrats had sort of allowed the communists to take over. So, one of the explanations that is given is Kennedy just was starting to look very clearly at the 1960 campaign and felt that he had to be on the hawkish side of this issue.
As his stature grew, you point out, he became one of the Democratic Party's most visible spokesmen on national security issues, really became the go-to guy.
Right. And I should add, I mean, it was sort of, to some extent, at least initially, it was a role that he kind of foisted upon himself because he was still, you know, in his first term at that point. You know, he was reelected in 1958. But he was very, very assertive. He was very knowledgeable. He was very highly respected. But there was also, I mean, and this is the thing that was so interesting as I did this research, the Senate of the 1950s, you know, Kennedy's time, they had some pretty impressive, formidable people. You know, Mike Mansfield, who was Kennedy's almost identical contemporary, also had deep interest in foreign policy. So did Hubert Humphrey, who was just a little bit, he was in the class before Kennedy. Richard Russell, a hawkish senator from Georgia, was more of a kind of a national security guy as opposed to just foreign policy. So there are a lot of people who are trying to be part of this debate. But Kennedy, you know, by just sheer tenacity and also in kind of effectiveness and carefulness, really insinuated himself into this debate. Foreign Affairs magazine, kind of the preeminent journal at the time, had him write the major essay in 1957 about, you know, a democratic view of foreign policy. So by 1957, he really had emerged as one of the Democratic Party's leading spokesmen in foreign policy, and he became a very tough, fierce critic of the Eisenhower administration. And intriguingly, a lot of his criticisms were hammering Eisenhower from the right. He felt that Eisenhower was not spending enough on defense. He thought Eisenhower was allowing a missile gap to emerge between the United States and the Soviet Union. So he, some people think that there was a political aspect to this foreign policy stance of hammering the administration from the conservative side.
You write, there's a chapter in the book called The Scholarly Senator, and it, as we were just talking about, I mean, as his stature was starting to rise, I mean, part of the reason for that was Profiles of Courage and the great success of that book that really put him on a national stage, won him a Pulitzer Prize, and not only that, really got him into the living rooms of so many people through television, not just in Massachusetts, but across the country.
That's right. And, you know, a lot of times when you look at someone's political career, it's uncertain, you know, where the turning points or the pivot points are. But I think for Kennedy, it's not hard to tell at all. And that was in 1956. In January of 56, as you mentioned, Profiles in Courage was published. It quickly became a national bestseller. It won the Pulitzer Prize in 1957. Also in 1956, Kennedy became sort of the sensation of the 56 Democratic Convention. He narrated the film that opened the convention. He nominated Adlai Stevenson. He came really within a whisker of becoming the party's vice presidential nominee. And then he was the leading surrogate on the campaign trail in the fall of 56. Eisenhower won soundly, defeating Stevenson. And Kennedy spent about 2 weeks, and then actually on Thanksgiving weekend in 1956, went up to Hyannisport and visited with the family and had a long talk with his father and came out of that meeting saying, you know, I'm ready to run for president. But to your point, part of Kennedy's political appeal was as someone who could bridge the world of ideas and actions. He always saw himself as kind of his hero was Winston Churchill, yeah, kind of a scholar statesman, someone who could, you know, write great history and love to read books, but also could deal in the tough world of power. And that was the kind of image that Kennedy tried to cultivate as a scholar statesman. And Profiles in Courage was a huge vehicle that allowed him to do it. And as you might expect, when people, even as early as 1957, started to challenge just how much of the book that Kennedy wrote and how much was written by Ted Sorensen, Kennedy marshaled a very, very aggressive response to these questions because he knew that this had become part of his political identity, being this scholar statesman.
Do you see any evidence as to not having perhaps a lack of experience in being, we see this was something that was brought up obviously with Kennedy, it was brought up with our current president, President Obama, with just his Senate experience and the one term in the Senate, even with Bill Clinton, of coming to that office as a young man?
You know, Kennedy, it's a hard question because on the one hand, you know, he comes to the office at 42, 43, and you have to wonder, was he really ready for it, you know? And yet the other thing that's worth noting is, you know, he had served in Congress for 14 years, which is, you know, probably more congressional experience than, I mean, there are very few presidents, I can't even think of one off of hand, who had more experience in Congress in terms of at least, you know, duration of time spent. So it's a tough issue. On the one hand, I mean, particularly as you look at the first year of Kennedy's presidency and some of his, you know, struggles out of the gate, you know, the first question you ask yourself, was he really ready for prime time? And it clearly, I mean, there were some mistakes that really make you wonder if he was. Yeah, at the same time, as I noted, you know, he had spent a lot of time in Congress, and he was, you know, unlike, say, President Obama, who didn't even finish out one term in the Senate, and actually had spent, you know, probably of those 4 years in the Senate, probably spent, I think he would even acknowledge it, 2 years running for president. You know, Kennedy, in the end, had served almost 8 years in the Senate, so it was, in terms of duration, it was, there was plenty of experience there.
Well, the name.
Joe, I may make one other point. I mean, it maybe it does also raise the kind of the big question too about whether, you know, the sort of experience that you get in Congress, House, and Senate is the best preparation for the presidency. And maybe, you know, as has been often the case in American history, you know, governors who are reputed to be able to run things and manage things and solve concrete problems and have to deal with, you know, putting together coalitions day by day, whether that job is a better training ground for the presidency.
So as we commemorate the 50th anniversary of the president's assassination, what do you think, what would you like readers to keep in mind as far as the Senate years?
I think that they should keep in mind a couple things. One, that this was an important time in Kennedy's life. It was 8 years, and I think some of his biographers, and even including some of his best biographers, tend to be somewhat dismissive of it. They just say it was just a stepping stone. And I think it was a stepping stone. I think Kennedy, when he entered the Senate, it was with a very clear eye of eventually running for president. But I think during those years, I think he developed, I think he matured, I think he learned a lot about foreign policy, some about domestic policy. I think during these years, he really forged a political identity based, as I'd mentioned, on this ability to be both a man of ideas and a man of action. And I think he also, you know, he became only the second sitting U.S. senator to go directly to the White House. Warren Harding did it first in 1920, Kennedy did it in 60, and President Obama did it again in 2008. So Kennedy found through some shrewd and clever and aggressive actions, found a really effective way to use the Senate as a launching pad to run for the presidency. So I would urge people to look at the Kennedy Senate years. I think they were an interesting time. I think the Senate that he worked in was a fascinating time with some real intriguing figures. And I think this was a time that the JFK matured into a major political force.
John Shaw tells a story in his new book, JFK and the Senate: Pathway to the Presidency. It is published by Palgrave Macmillan. John Shaw, thank you very much for spending time with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate that.
A great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the title of the book is JFK in the Senate: Pathway to the Presidency. It is published by Palgrave Macmillan. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.